This is the time of the week when we go live to Spence Clark, Chartered Accountants, and Alistair Spence Clark. Alistair, good morning to you.
Good morning, Giles. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. It being a Thursday, it being you know, it's just almost the end of the week.
End of the week, yes.
I'm off for a few days, so I'm a little bit what they call demob happy.
There you go. Okay.
I was planning to go and see a few places, but due to the usual life bit of my car, I think I'll be seeing most of the mechanics in the Greater Marbella area over the next 5 days. But there you go.
Now, yes, right.
It is that special time of year, Alistair.
It's a very special time of the year. I'm very excited. Okay,
and it's for not all Santa. Sorts of reasons. It's not Santa. Skiing season hasn't, you know, is not beginning again. What's going on?
We've had some fantastic news, but I'm going to just go through. Some boring news to start with.
Are you teasing me, Alistair? Are you actually teasing me? Right then, come on then. Let's get
the boring stuff out of the way first. Well, first and foremost, everybody who's self-employed should be aware that their social security is going to go up next year. At the moment, everyone sort of pays the minimum, around 280 euros a month, more or less, 290. And over the next 10 years, it's going to be gradual. People's social security are going to be matched to their income. So for some people, it's going to go up to as much as 1,200 a month.
Sorry, that's the sound of my jaw hitting the desk here.
Well, it's not that few people. Anybody earning over 50,000 is going to be paying 1,200 a month, from 286 a month to 1,200 a month. All right, it's going to take 10 years to get there.
Yeah.
But I tell you, that is a massive change. Anyway.
Can I just leap in on here? Because it does this. This is once again, and you know, shoot me down here, Alistair, because you can. But this is once again, it fits my theory that Spain don't want you to be self-employed. They want you to be a funcionario.
No, they want you to be working black.
Right. Even better.
Sorry. Surely everybody knows that all the legislation in Spain is trying to force people to work black.
It does seem sometimes mad stuff.
Indeed.
Okay, right. So, that's out of the way.
The second thing, some good news. I did actually mention it last time, but a lot of people don't know about it, so I'm mentioning it again. Anybody who joined the Tarifa Planner system in the last few months, or last year actually, these are newly registered self-employed people, can claim. Who are paying 60 euros a month, they can claim another year of 60 euros a month, and the Junta de Andalucía will help them. Okay? So you've got to apply for a grant, and that grant will, it's actually worth quite a lot of money. By the end of the day, it's worth 1,300 euros in discounts on your social security. So anybody who's self-employed, who's become self-employed very recently, well, in the last year or so, then they need to look at this because it's worth going for. Okay? So a bit of bad news, bit of good news. Third item, we're getting never-ending, and wonderful as it is, never-ending inquiries from people who got UK companies, and they need advice on how to function in Spain, whether they're employed by the UK company or whether they own the UK company. And just for anybody out there who's listening on this particular subject, you'll find some very useful articles, if I say so myself, on exactly this subject, which will answer many of your questions.
Right.
And of course, if they don't answer your questions, just get in touch with us. We're more than happy to help you without any charge, talking to you over the phone, sending you a quick email, whatever. And if you want to find those articles, just type UK in the search facility on our website, and that will come up with the articles.
Wonderful.
Okay. Another bit of good news. Under 35s who are renting a home, if they're paying less than 600 a month, this is a typical sort of self, an individual owning a, renting a small apartment. As long as they're paying under 600, they are eligible for a grant of up to 250 euros a month deduction on their rent. And it lasts for 2 years. So that's 250 times 12 times 2. which is quite a lot.
This is thank you for being so. Thank you, Alastair. That's filled me full of confidence. But the other thing, this is part of the plan to get Spanish people to, because they are you know that thing about being empty nesters in Spain.
Yes,
they're
yes.
not, are they? They can't kick them out. You know, quick. Well, they can't get rid of them, can they? Yeah,
they call it emancipation. That's what I read in one of the headlines. Right. Emancipation of the youth. Well, youth at 35 years old is pushing it, but anyway, it's there to help. Now, of course, it's a total nightmare applying for these things, but you can do it. It's not available yet. It's been announced, and the autonomous communities, i.e. Malaga, Valencia, Balearics, Canaries, will be handing out the cash, therefore you have to apply to those authorities.
Right, okay.
Penultimate. We're right in the middle of the M720 season. Just to remind everyone, M720 is a declaration of your foreign assets. Okay, there's no tax payable, but it's a control declaration. And until now, subject to horrendous fines if you got it wrong. And that's the good news. It's right. The most astounding piece of information I can impart to our wonderful listeners now. The European Court of Justice has completely overturned the whole of the fine regime on the M720.
Ooh.
It's stunning. Absolutely stunning. What they've said is that the tax office is going to have to pay back millions in fines. Millions and millions in fines. It doesn't matter if you didn't appeal the fine. The fine is illegal and it will be repaid. You just have to apply. This is a really big one.
Presumably, the Spanish tax office have appealed this. I mean, can they appeal?
No, they can't. They can't appeal. Ooh. It. This is it. And the sentencia, the ruling, says that the fines were extremely repressive. Extremely repressive. Because they're completely out of all kinds of, you know, there's no sense in them at all compared to normal fines in Spain. They were completely repressive and against the Treaty of Rome because they inhibited the free movement of capital. Now, the EU has done a wonderful thing. It's not often I say that, but it's done a wonderful thing. And I'm glad that Spain is in the EU because Spain, the administration of Spain, loves to abuse the administrated, the sujetos pasivos, as we're called. Mm. And this is a slap in the face to the Spanish government and administration and establishment. I love it.
Yeah.
There was a Danish, the court works in strange and wonderful ways.
Yeah.
Before the court issued its ruling or heard the case, in fact, it had to listen to an advocate. It's a really weird concept. There are, I think, 11 advocates or something to this particular court. And the Danish advocate, who's obviously a rabid socialist, he said that the fines and the whole regime in Spain was completely justified. Christ, I wouldn't like to live in that country.
Well, I mean, this is, I mean, rabid socialists notwithstanding, and I can hear people saying, is there any other sorts, etc.?
No.
But, but
Boris is one. He's quite reasonable.
This, the thing that worries me, though, is this, okay, so the Hacienda has been slapped with this massive, you know, as you said, it's been
massive.
You keep saying that. But won't now a Hacienda sort of like a wounded whatever strike back and hit us all with, you know, that everybody else was sort of punitive taxes or fines about something?
No. This was an abuse against foreigners or people who had assets abroad.
Right.
And all right, sure. There was some justification in it because there was an awful lot of tax fraud, people with bank accounts in Switzerland, etc. And yes, I mean it was justified that they should take action against it. But what they did was extremely brutal and completely disproportionate. I mean, you know, and the European Court has agreed with most of the professionals in Spain.
So
To give you, apart from the fines, which are insane, we had a situation where one of the peculiarities of Spanish law is if you've committed a major tax naughty 10 years ago and the tax office hasn't caught you, then they've only got 4 or 5 years to catch you. They can't go back more than 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
Well, under the M720 rules, they could go back forever. So, which is complete discrimination against foreign assets. So, basically, what the tax office was entitled to do is say, well, okay, you know, let's say you received a naughty commission and you stashed the money in Switzerland, a bit like the King of Spain, and
Can I just say allegedly in these papers?
Sorry, allegedly, of course.
Just, you know, I'd hate to be slapped on yet another legal document, but there you go.
Yeah, you're quite right, quite right. Anyway, with the M720, because it's a foreign bank account that you haven't disclosed, they could go back forever. So anything to do with foreign bank accounts, they could go back forever. Anything to do with Spanish bank accounts, they couldn't. So you know, the court thought that was pretty sick as well. So disproportionate is the word used, excessive, and, well, I'm using the word brutal. Anyway, that piece of fantastic news, and it's literally hot off the press, it's this morning. I've just read it in El Economista. Thank you, El Economista. And anybody who's been fined, doesn't matter how, you know, whether they appealed it or not, they will get their money back.
So, I mean, when you say they'll get their money back, is it suddenly going to appear in your bank account then? Or how do you know?
No,
told you the proceedings?
So, we do live in Spain. You know, it's not like the PPI scandal in the UK where the banks were actually fined for not giving it back automatically. In Spain, you have to ask for it. But you know, it's going to be very straightforward. Anyone can do it. If you want a specialist to do it, come and talk to us. And also, if you have had to pay tax on a non-prescribed naughty income many years ago, you can get that back as well, plus the fines. And yeah, that requires a little bit more skill, so please come and see us on that one. Anyway, that's the fantastic news. I mean, it is wonderful.
Excellent. I didn't, and as the saying goes, didn't see that coming, but in a good way. So now let's get on with some other bits and pieces, because again, we're saying it's that's that most wonderful time of the year.
Yes, indeed. Right, I've published two articles recently. One is a guide to wealth tax in Spain. The other one is year-end accounting and tax review for companies. Now, I'm sorry, these are boring accountancy subjects, but they are actually quite important. I've never published a guide to wealth tax, despite having been here 35 years, and it was because I always had the hope that the wealth tax would disappear. But the government said that it wouldn't disappear and actually removed the disappearing clause out of the from the Ley de Presupuestos a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, okay, we get so many questions about wealth tax, and wealth tax is quite a frightening subject to lots of people. So I thought, well, I'll do a proper formal guide. So you'll see it on our guides section of our website. And I've done a nice little analysis, I have to say, and it covers the whole thing. I thought, just for the benefit of the listeners, some of the kind of weird stuff about this tax might be a bit of fun. It actually goes back to 1978.
Okay.
Okay, so 1978, it was an emergency tax. This is immediately post-Franco, new constitution, and the state of Spain needed some emergency cash to get going, which is perfectly reasonable and totally justifiable. Of course, an emergency tax for a couple of years never went away.
Right, okay, yes.
Yeah. It was substantially reformed in 91, and basically the tax rates haven't changed since, I think, 92, 93. So we have tax rates and tax bans, which are almost 30 years old, 25 years old, 26 years old. So it's a stealth tax because, you know, in that time, in that 25 to 30 years, money is worth half as much as it was worth then. So, you know, you've got a 3.5% tax rate on wealth over 10 million. Now, okay, you might say anybody worth more than 10 million deserves to pay the tax, but that's 350,000 a year, whether you receive any income or not. So it's a kind of insane tax. Mm. Also, wonderful statistic. The amount of tax raised by this tax is 1.2 billion euros a year. It's only a quarter of 1% of the total take of tax in this country. So what is the purpose of this tax, apart from punishing the rich?
Mm.
Now, we live in Andalusia, and Andalusia benefits enormously from high net worth individuals from all over the world who want to come and live in our wonderful climate and enjoy the fabulous culture. Okay?
Yep.
Well, a lot of them go and live in Portugal because Portugal doesn't have wealth tax. Now, of all the stupid taxes you can possibly have, wealth tax is right there at the top. And when I hear politicians in the UK talking about having a wealth tax in the UK, I think they're completely insane. Spain is one of the only countries in the world to have a wealth tax, and the only reason it has it is political dogma.
Right. Can I just... I've got a couple of questions coming in for you, if you want to take a few...
Yeah, sure.
This one in from James in O'Hen, and good morning to you, James. Hey, Giles, does this mean the European Court might punish and haul over the Spanish government's abuse of the self-employed too? I live in hope. That's one...
What a wonderful thought.
I don't, and,
yeah. No.
Right. This one in, then another one in, then from John, who said, Re-720, what effect does the refund of fines have on the declaration we are due to make this year?
Doesn't change the declaration at all. It just means if you make a mistake, they're not going to fine you, because they now need to re-establish a fine system for this tax. It means that if you forget to do it, they can't fine you. If you put the wrong information in, they can't fine you. There will be, you know, there is in the Ley General Tributaria, which is the general tax law, which will be the default place. I think there are some default fines, if I can call them that, which may apply. But I think we can be pretty sure that the tax office is going to come back pretty quickly with some of the new fines regime, and it'll come through by Real Decreto. Which is a royal decree, which doesn't require an act of parliament, because they're allowed to do that in emergencies. So, yes, John, do your M720. You know, it's not a big deal. It's not particularly painful. And, you know, you could still be fined, even if it's a modest fine. It's not worth paying fines when you can just do the job properly.
Okay, thanks for that. Right then, where were we?
Right. So, yeah, in my article, I talk about the regional variations in tax, and I make the little joke, so I can't help it. It will surprise no one that most wealthy Spaniards now live in Madrid and only sheep live in Extremadura. And that is why. That is okay. Why. And the reason for that is that Extremadura has the highest levels of tax, and on 15 million, all right, a wealthy person, I don't think there are any in Extremadura, I can assure you, you'd have to pay...
I can hear the good people at Extremadura gnashing their teeth from here, Alistair. But no,
they're now living in Madrid, I can assure you. It's an adjoining state, so they can move there.
Right.
If you're stupid enough to live in Extremadura and have 15 million at your disposal, you're going to pay 400,000 a year, okay?
Right. As opposed drive
a very short distance to Madrid and you'll pay zero.
Right. So therefore.
And people wonder why all the wealth is concentrated in Madrid. Duh. How stupid can this
Well, I mean, Extremadura is a harsh, as its name suggests, is a harsh environment anyway. So you thought they'd give it a couple of breaks, wouldn't you? Just go and get people to live there.
Yeah, Extremadura, extremely hard. That's an enticing place to go and live. Well, the sheep love it.
Right.
Apart from the fact that they're usually butchered.
Anyway, moving on.
I mean, basically, in the guide, we explain how different assets are taxed and all that sort of stuff, which we also explain that your first 700,000 is tax-free, and if you've got a home in your name, you get another 300,000. So that's basically a million exemption, regardless of where you are in Spain. Actually, no, that's not true, because actually some of the more extreme left-wing states in Spain have actually reduced these exemptions, unbelievably, just to make themselves look even more socialist. Wonderful people. What else? Yes, and one of the important things I raise in my article is the word tax optimization, which is a bit tongue-in-cheek.
Yep.
Trying to find new words which are acceptable for tax planning. And basically, you can organize your affairs in such a manner to reduce your wealth tax. And I'm just pointing at a couple of things that you can do. A couple of stupid things, you know, make sure you do it properly. Make sure you use an advisor who actually knows what they're doing. Make sure your advisor understands pension schemes properly, which is actually a big mistake we find in a lot of tax returns. I just put a few little pointers in there about how you can actually limit the amount of tax. It's still a brutal tax. It's still a political tax. But, you know, we got to do what we can with what we've got. And so my job is to try and help people make the best of it. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. And just one of the things that you said, and this I picked up on this as well, because I mean, apart from going through the tax review for companies, and when you say, and now it gets a little more complicated, that worries me. That worries me, Alistair. I mean, for people putting in their tax review for companies, it's a whole new kettle of Pescado, isn't it? Basically,
it is. But you know, I try and de-skill everything. I try and, you know, our philosophy is to try and enable the client to understand what they're doing, so they don't have to ask thousands of questions. And we try and enable people to control their own affairs. You know, my article on year-end accounting, I know it sounds boring and most people will fall asleep, but actually, it's if you're a company owner, it is actually really worth reading, because it will help you avoid some of the really big pitfalls that we have come across. So I'm not going to go into massive detail here.
Right.
But I am going to just point out that we have come across some pretty horrendous things picking up work from other sources. and, you know, some of these things that we found cost hundreds of thousands to fix in unnecessary taxes. And if a business owner would just go through that guide point by point, I explain the whole magic of accounting in Spain. And it's not magic. It's very, very simple if you know what the rules are.
Yeah.
I explain that in a few paragraphs. I know your eyes, sir. I know you fell asleep reading.
No, I didn't. It's just you say things like, it is most important to understand the balances on the account must represent reality, and then reality is in capital letters.
Well, that is because we often come across accounts that don't represent reality. You know, some of the insanity we've come across, we've come across companies that invest in properties, and millions of euros of properties had been forgotten from the balance sheet.
Yeah.
Well, as you do.
How does that happen? Oh dear.
But also,
anyway, just a couple of.
I just want to pick up on this one point, because I think that it's a good one, because there's a letter that went out in 2019 to small businesses. And that's something to look out for, because sometimes we get this stuff from the tax office and we go, yeah, well, you know, whatever, I'll file that under must do later. But this is quite important, and it relates to stock, isn't it?
Yeah, the tax office has a very sophisticated systems, and when you file a tax return, you know, everything's coded up. So basically, the tax office knows what goods you bought and what you sold them for. It also knows what stock you had. And from that data, and, you know, grouping together, all the restaurants, for example.
Right.
Hang on, I got rid of it. All the restaurants together, for example, bars. They can work out what the profit margin is typically for bars and restaurants or furniture shops or whatever. And what they did is, a couple of years ago, they said, guys, we are looking at your business statistics and we think that your profit margins look a bit suspect. Now, I can tell you something. You do not want a tax inspection. And if you have accounts that show that your profit margin is too low, then the tax office is going to form the inevitable conclusion that you're pocketing some of the sales in cash. Now, if you've been identified already as being vulnerable to that accusation, then you need to do something about it. Don't ignore it. You have been warned. Anyway, I know we're short of time, Giles. I'd like to talk for another half an hour, but you never allow me.
I'm bated breath here, Alistair. But
yeah. You've probably got more interesting people to talk to. Anyway, if people would just read that through, if you're a company director, it'll take you 10 minutes. Skip the complicated bits. There are an awful lot of simple bits, anecdotes, tips, things that you know, will prevent you from having major problems. And of course, always, if you see something that you're worried about and you just want a friendly person to talk to you can always pick up the phone to us.
Yeah.
And we will, without charging you, without any sin compromiso, without any obligations, we will guide you. We're not going to do a lot of work for nothing, obviously, but we will more than happy to guide you. And if you've got a worry and it's unfounded and there's no problem, then we will tell you. If you've got a worry and we can see that you have got a problem, we'll give you some tips on how you can try and get it resolved with your existing advisor.
Okay? And not only that, you are so good at getting rid of imaginary or phantom accounts. You're not so much Ghostbusters, it says here, but Accounts Busters.
We certainly are. I wish I could sing the song, but we are.
Please don't. So if people want to check out more stuff and go through, but it's all there on the website. Where can they find you?
They can find us on SpenceClark.com. Spence Clark is one word. Or they can give us a ring on 95282 2943. I have an office full of wonderfully enthusiastic and competent accountants and tax advisors, and we're more than happy to talk to you.
If there's something strange in your neighbourhood, who are you going to call? Alistair Spence Clark and Spence Clark account. Alistair, as well. I think it's the first time this year as well, so good to speak to you, my friend.
Yes, indeed. Always a pleasure, Giles.
Indeed, and we'll speak next month. Take care, and Alistair Spence Clark at Spence Clark Accountancy.